we ended up making a switch to a full dose platform. They were previously on half dose, and really started feeling some response to that. And really what it was they just acted the same when they broke versus the variation we saw on half dose platforms. So at that point, we just started trying to capture the data, and it was more or less to justify to my superiors in the production system, like, hey, this investment of another dose, you know, half dose of PERS is justified. And so that's how we started this. And what it's entailed is capturing all the lateral, or at least trying to capture all the lateral PERS breaks and grow finish.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Through innovative solutions, cutting-edge research, and world-class experts, Boehringer Ingelheim helps producers operate with complete confidence. Learn more at bi-animalhealth.com. Ralco, proven science, practical results.
Welcome to the Swine Health Black Belt Podcast, the latest swine health research digested for you. My name is Dr. Clayton Johnson. I'm the host of the podcast. Joining me in our podcast studios this week is Dr. Tyler Baughman. Dr. Baughman is a herd veterinarian with the Mashoffs. And Tyler, thank you so much for coming on to the show. If you would, why don't we start with a little introduction for the audience?
Yeah, I appreciate it, Clayton. Really glad to be here, being able to talk about some vaccine strategies and lateral PERS and finishing. As you mentioned, been with the Mashoffs for about 9 years and focused primarily on grow finish pigs in Iowa.
Well, Tyler, let's dive right into it. As I understand it, you've done some work on trying to optimize vaccine strategies and really big picture, just try and help with the reality that is lateral PERS pressure in pig dense areas. You want to talk to us, you know, big picture, what's your life like dealing with that lateral PERS pressure, right? It's kind of the elephant in the room. And then take us on the journey of your career, right? How have you tried to optimize that? And how has that led to some specific studies where hopefully you can shed a little light in that black box for us?
Yeah, I appreciate it, Clayton. So I think the first thing is understanding when you're working for a production system is, you know, I have all these tools available, but I always have cost constraints. And so you're trying to optimize the tools you have available with an ROI. And so the age old question that everyone continues to ask is, you know, which is better, half dose or full dose? Specifically when we're talking modified lives where we know that there's going to be some amplification on a half dose strategy, you know, you can probably get up to an adequate immune level. Problem is with our pressure, specifically in Iowa, central western Iowa, is that we see that sometimes we don't have enough time or we have other things going against us, whether that's maternal antibodies, if it's stocking density, other health challenges. And so we've had to really evaluate that strategy and look a little bit closer at a full dose program. And so where this journey started was roughly around 2021, 2022, in which we had a specific flow that wasn't really having the same response to lateral breaks that we were anticipating. So not sure what it was with the flow exactly, but we ended up making a switch to a full dose platform. They were previously on half dose and really started feeling some response to that. And really what it was they just acted the same when they broke versus the variation we saw on half dose platforms. So at that point, we just started trying to capture the data, and it was more or less to justify to my superiors in the production system, like, hey, this investment of another dose, you know, half dose of PERS is justified. And so that's how we started this. And what it's entailed is capturing all the lateral, or at least trying to capture all the lateral PERS breaks and grow finish. And what we have done over the last 4 years is essentially looking at 2V pigs as they're placed 2V, and then just evaluating that when they break, all the different data that goes with that, you know, the vaccine dosing, the product type, closeout information, and then rolling that into an analysis that we utilize through Iowa State EpiTeam.
Salmonella presents significant challenges to pig health and performance and poses food safety risks to humans. As the first and only vaccine offering live attenuated strains of both Salmonella cholera suis and Typhimurium, Enterasol Salmonella TC from Boehringer Ingelheim protects pigs against both serotypes with a single oral dose. Talk to your Boehringer Ingelheim representative to learn more.
Excellent. So you've got pigs of a common purr status at the starting point, and then you guys are monitoring to see if those pigs break with a lateral PRRS infection, and then ultimately look at the data. Let's dive into that a little bit. So the identifying an outbreak, how do you do that diagnostically, or can you do that clinically? How do you say, okay, this one qualifies as being a part of our outbreak category of farms?
Yeah, the first thing is just clinical signs. And that took some training with our field team. And the same thing was like PED, you know, hey, I know it's PRRS, I know it's PED, and so I don't need to test. And what we found is, like, although they're right about 90% of the times, and myself too, and that is just the challenge of documenting that. And, you know, the ability now to sequence and next gen sequence, we needed the testing to confirm that. And so that was the first hurdle, was just identifying the clinical signs, and then most of the time we're doing oral fluids for that collection. The other times we'd catch it on surveillance testing is if in our nursery phase, if we're going to be thinning down nurseries and commingling into a finisher site, we would do a commingle testing just to make sure that one group doesn't by chance have PRRS or PED, and then we infect the other half that was negative. And so occasionally we would pick it up on that on a surveillance. So early in the break, or just maybe a mild strain that thought was flu. And so those are our two primary methods of detecting the PRRS.
Excellent. So that helps us to categorize, you know, these farms did get challenged, these farms didn't get challenged. How about the measurement side of it? What were the metrics that you were able to look at? You mentioned closeouts, so I'm assuming mortality and growth, but what were the things you really evaluated?
Yeah, so mortality was our number one, was could we move the needle? And in our system, we'll have a nursery phase lot code, and then we'll have a finisher phase lot code. And so you have two different areas there. And so most of our breaks, what we found observationally was that most of these PRRS breaks were happening late nursery. And so despite the vaccine platform, whether it was half dose or full dose, we did see a similar mortality at that phase. But we found that really it transitioned on the feeder to market phase as those pigs hit greater than 10 weeks, that's where we saw our mortality savings in on the different platforms. But we looked at vet med spend. We looked at cull percentage. As I mentioned, we definitely looked at different vaccine products, which we didn't see anything different there. Those are our primary ones. And then we had to utilize the statistical method, like I said, because it's all observational data. There's not really a good control. Definitely is not in a controlled research setting. And so they had to use Iowa State Epi team utilized what they call a casual diagram, which takes it can take observational data with lots of different variables, try to equalize those and pinpoint to one variable. So in the case, if we were looking at half dose versus full dose, we would isolate it down to that, and it would take out a lot of the noise. And that modeling piece is, it's not really my forte, but it's a pretty dynamic modeling they have to use.
And if they've built that modeling out, I would assume that's something other producers could leverage, other veterinarians. If you did the same program where you monitored in-process groups and you identified these are the ones that have those lateral outbreaks, and you could bring the closeout data to the table, I would assume that Iowa State Field Epi Group could somewhat rinse and repeat with what they've done for you guys.
Oh, 100%. The biggest challenge, though, it becomes a numbers game. And so when we first started, I think we had roughly 20 to 30 lateral breaks per year that we had detected. Now, the last 2 years have been extremely active. Now we've had increased our testing, but I think that the lateral pressure is so much greater now. But this year already, we're at, I think, 53 breaks. Last year, we ended up 79 breaks. And so with that, all those numbers, is needed to try to get, you know, that N factor. So one thing that we've been doing with some of our company peers or industry peers is they're starting to roll their data in with ours so that we can get a greater understanding within the industry on how significant is a half dose versus full dose platform. Detect different characteristics within strains from a mortality. So we can look at RFLPs and try to assign some different measurements to that as well.
Well, you know, you mentioned the full dose and half dose, and I'm sure that's what's got a lot of people hooked if they're listening to the podcast. So tell us what you learned, right? Were you able to notice a difference between those two dosing options?
Yep. So over the course of, the data was collected on a 3-year period that we analyzed. What we observed was about a 3.69% mortality improvement with the full dose platform. And that occurred more in that finishing phase. So as I discussed, like almost 90% of our lateral PERS breaks happened in that late nursery phase. Well, the mortality savings really rolled over in our within our system on the feeder to market phase where we saw those savings. With that, though, it's we identified the significance of that. We made the change in our system in Iowa to do full dose PERS vaccine. And so now we're in an issue of bottlenecking our data. So we're continuing to collect, continue to analyze on a routine basis, on pretty much an annual basis. But now I don't have very many half dose lots that I can include in that. And so now we're looking at, all right, so if we're going to do full dose with, you know, XYZ product, what's the best way to administer that? Is it a single dose at weaning? Is it a split dose where half dose at processing, half dose at weaning? Or do you move it out even further where it's half dose at weaning, half dose at 3 weeks post weaning, you know, with the circle micro booster?
Sure.
And so that's really where our data analysis is leaning towards now. And then obviously, as I mentioned, just trying to understand these RFLPs and trying to understand if there's some similarities that we can, you know, make some expectations if we do break with one.
Tyler, how would you summarize it for a pig producer that's in Iowa where you're at and they're saying, okay, I'm listening to what you're saying, but like, give me the bottom line, right? Like what practically should I do? What's the right dose at the right time as a general recommendation in this region? And then if you would, how does that compare to maybe a not very pig dense region where the lateral pressure isn't quite as great?
Yeah, so that's really company dependent. The way I would look at it is, you know, as we try to look for ROI, especially in production systems, is in Iowa, specifically central and western Iowa, it makes a ton of sense that it is worth the investment because the lateral pressure is so great. I don't think it's necessarily required in other parts, you know, maybe in southern Illinois or parts of Missouri, like it probably doesn't make as much sense if you don't have that lateral pressure. The one thing I also know is that market prices currently are really good. So again, if you're really trying to protect your investment right now, especially summer markets coming up, I mean, right now is really good, but it's supposed to even get better. Like, it may be worth that additional investment in that. So I think, yep, location for sure. Market, you know, makes a ton of sense. And so I think taking that information and making the best informed decisions for your own system.
Fantastic. It's great information, Tyler. It's good science and understanding the limitations of it's not a controlled research study, but it's the best available science that we can have to help make this decision. And it's a decision that every pig producer has to make in terms of, am I going to vaccinate my pigs for PERS? And if so, what's the dose I'm going to use? So I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that with the audience.
Yeah, thanks, Clayton. Appreciate it.
Well, thanks to our audience for being a part of this. I really appreciate you listening to the podcast. And if you would, like and subscribe to it. It helps the algorithm. It helps get Tyler's message out to more folks. And certainly word of mouth is appreciated as well. You know, you get to download this podcast for free and all the ones we do every Friday. So if you enjoy them, share them with somebody that you think Dr. Baughman's message is appropriate for. Pass the good word along. For Dr. Tyler Baughman, I'm Dr. Clayton Johnson. It's been a pleasure to chat with you today. We hope you have a great rest of your day. Thanks for spending some time with us.